You have your Bibles open. I'm going to share this with you real quick this morning. And I've listened this morning, on Sunday morning, while I'm getting ready and doing other things around in the kitchen and breakfast and personal thing and another. I always like to listen to some of the other preachers. And I listened to David Jeremiah some, and Robert Jeffries from First Baptist Church of Dallas, and Dr. Stanley. And this morning I caught a little bit of all of them. And they were blessing. I was wondering what they were doing. David Jeremiah was in New York and had a special program. But his message was very simple. It was that Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, came to be the Savior. And if you miss that, you miss the whole thing. And you need to be saved by the grace of God. I listened to Charles Stanley, same thing. He was going through the simple plan of salvation in that big church down in Atlanta, nationwide, worldwide broadcast on In Touch. And he was saying Jesus Christ is a Savior. And if you miss that, you missed all of Christmas. And you need to know Christ as your Savior and be born again. He gave a simple plan of salvation. Dr. Robert Jeffries, the same thing. I was going through, listening to just that. And I thought, God laid on my heart what I'm going to share with you this morning. I said, Lord, that's awful simple. But that's exactly what we need, isn't it? How many of you believe in the simplicity of the gospel? I do. It needs to be, you know, Dr. J. Vernon McGee used to say, put the cookies on the bottom shelf. That way everybody can get some. Amen. And that's what I try to do. That's about all I can do. But in the book of Isaiah, will you look at this, please? One of my favorite passage of scripture in all the Old Testament, because that reminds of what Christmas is all about. Isaiah chapter number 9, and look at verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon the and his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice, with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. I love that first statement that it pictures for us so beautifully. Keep in mind, this is 900 and some odd years before Christ was ever born. And God spoke through his prophet and said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Jesus Christ was birthed through Mary. He was just a child. I got so many messages I like to preach around Christmas time. I like to preach on the three questions they always ask about babies. The first of all, they want to know, is it a boy or a girl? Now they do that sonogram. You had to wait when me and Regina were having babies. She was having them. I was just there. But you had to wait till the doctor said what it was before you knew what it was. But now they get pictures of it, you know, and they showed me pictures of all of the babies and all. I never can hardly make them out. But at any rate, they say it's a baby, and I say, okay, that's a baby. But everybody wants to know, is it a boy or a girl? Jesus was a boy baby. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. Jesus was a boy baby. Now, why does that matter? Because the sacrifice, he had to be a sacrifice. And for the sacrifice, it had to be a lamb. It had to be a male. And he came to be a king, and a king is a male. He had to be king. He had to be a priest, and a priest is a male. Jesus was a boy baby. And then they want to know the second question they want to know. They want to know, how big was he? Oh, this is a big baby. A great big baby. I know I've told you this before, but I just like, Charles is a big baby. Charles is a big baby. But my cousin, Geraldine, she's somewhere kin way back out of the Linwood in them, kin to the Masons back in there, going around Rock Rapids. But she holds the record, as far as I know, for a baby. She had twin boys that weighed 9 pounds apiece. And then her third child was a little boy. Quote, little boy. Regina and I went to see him the day he came home to hospital, about 2 days after he was born. He had on a sailor suit. That's the truth. He had on a sailor suit. You say, how much did he weigh? He weighed 18 pounds and 12 ounces. What's your name? Named him Buster. That's the truth. He had a name. His name's Buster. I don't think that was in my notes. How big was that baby born in Bethlehem? Let me tell you how big it was. The Bible said all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in bodily. He told David, he said, David wanted to build a temple. He said, hey, man. He said, the heavens can't contain me. And yet he put his whole self in that little baby. In that baby was all of mankind. The Bible said that when he died, he tasted death for every man. Oh, he's a big baby, big enough to save the whole world. Oh, he's a big baby. And then they want to know this. What was his name? Oh, his names are many. Here they are, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. On. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, he had a lot of names. They all identify what he did and who he was. But I want to share with you this truth this morning. And, time's gone. I want you to look, see what it says in this passage of Scripture. And I one little phrase that caught my attention again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Turn over to the book of John, your wonderful passage of Scripture. We didn't even have to quote or read it. We could quote it. But listen to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You don't have to wonder who that son is in Isaiah 19, chapter 9. He's the son of God. God loved us so much he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That doesn't mean much to you if you've never had a boy. But if you've ever had a son, you ever had a child, would you even think about taking that baby and letting that baby die for somebody else? Would you wish for him that he could be spit upon and his beard pulled from his face and be beat with a cat of nine tails and beat with a rod? Would you want for him to have nails driven in his hand and in his feet, have him mocked and cursed and hung between heaven and earth? Would you like to hear him cry, I thirst? Would you like to hear him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet omniscient God knew all that was going to happen when he gave his son. Why? For God so loved, that's why. At Christmas time, if that doesn't remind you, if it doesn't get hold of your heart, then the reason Jesus came, the reason for the season was you. He loved you so much he gave his son for you. And then I want you to turn over to the book of Romans, and I'll read this. Romans in chapter number 8, verse 28, Dr. Lee Robertson's favorite verse in all the Bible, his life's verse was Romans chapter 8, verse 28. His precious little daughter named Joy got killed, and he named a camp for boys and girls after her, Camp Joy. But this was his favorite verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to become formed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? Here's my text verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? Let me read that again. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Will you bow me just briefly? I promise you I'll be brief. Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would speak to hearts. You already have through the music, Lord, through the scriptures even. But God, I pray if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl in here, God, open their heart. God, this is a busy time. It's busy for all of us. Every one of us, our Father, get kind of caught up into the busyness of it. And yet we know we love you, and we know, God, what it's all about. But God, I pray for these brief moments, remove everything from my mind and heart, both here in the building and in the media audience. And God, I pray we'll hear the Holy Ghost of God speak to our hearts once again about this greatest of all gifts. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah said unto us, a son is given. And then John said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then in the book of Romans, Paul writing, he talks about Christ and who he is and what he's done. And then he said this, he said, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That everything comes through Jesus. You know, I have this little phrase, and it's not original with me. You've heard it over and over again, but I don't think I've ever preached on it. But Jesus was God's love gift to the world. But Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. most of the gifts we get. The other night when I met with when we had our latest circle, and by the way, that was a great way to start the year. I love the singing and being with the kids and reading the Bible story. And I started off by asking them, what's the best gift you ever got? And I thought they were going to say something, but you know, y'all do such a good job, moms and dads and Sunday school teachers and Awana works and everything. First little girl spoke up. She said, Jesus. Best gift I ever got was Jesus. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's the best gift we ever got. But you know, we get so many gifts that we wanted, we thought we wanted, and next year this time, we won't even know where it's at or what it's all about. But Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. God gave His gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, by Him freely give us all things. I want to say to you, this gift in the first place was a very personal gift. He told those shepherds, born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior. And He said, He's given unto us. Jesus Christ came to die personally for you. So many of you in here who are guests and visitors this morning, I apologize, I don't know your name. And some of you, I want to get to know better. But Jesus knows everything about you, knows all your sin, very hairs of your head, all number. And when Jesus died, He was God's love gift to you personally. He died for you. He died for you. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, and He died for you. He knew you. You know, He died for the whole world, but don't get lost in the shuffle. He knows you. He knows your name. The kids come in the house, and the little ones just look for anything that's wrapped. They don't care whose it is. They want to open anything they can get their hands on. But most of them are looking for their name on a gift. I'm looking for my name on a gift. And I want to tell you that if Jesus was here, He's God's love gift, your name's on Him. He gave Him with you in mind. He's a personal gift. He's a powerful gift. He's able to save to the uttermost. The Lord loved us so much, He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. He's able to keep you from hell and able to keep you forever. He's the gift that keeps on giving. He's a very powerful gift. He's a very practical gift. Why is He so practical? Well, you give something, you want it to be something that somebody really needs. And He said He'll supply all of our needs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, with Him be freely, give us all things, all of our, everything. Everything that you need is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, well, I need this, that, and the other. But Bible said, every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. Everything you have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All wisdom is in Him, everything else. He'll meet all of our needs. And He said that freely by Him. He's the gift that keeps on giving because what we needed was salvation. And there's salvation that none other given among men, the Bible said, but the name of Jesus, there's salvation in none other. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He gave Him, He is such a practical gift that His salvation is for everybody. It's one size fits all. One cross, one Savior, one death, one burial, one resurrection, one coming King, one size fits all. He can meet every need you've got. You need forgiveness. He can forgive all of your sin. You need righteousness. The Bible said that all of our sin was laid on Him, but He have imputed to us His own righteousness. We need growth. He gave us the Holy Spirit of God, gave us the Bible, all those things. But we need relationship. I was doing some reading and studies some time ago about the needs of people, their needs. And one of the things was there need to be some connection. There needs to be something to be a part of a family, to be part of a connection. And what He did, the Bible said that He made us one in Christ. Oh, listen, He gave us all of that. And all of our emotional needs, we need acceptance. So nobody likes me. Jesus loves you. Loves you just like you are. Jesus loves you. People need acceptance. They need love. They need value. Bible says that David looked around and said, no one cares for my soul. He said, I looked on my right hand, looked on my left side, looked around. Nobody cared for my soul. But when David looked up, he found somebody who loved him with an everlasting love. And Jesus loves you and He gives you love. He gives you wisdom. The Bible said to all men that ask, it gives to them without any discrimination and gives to them liberally. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 is a verse that I read the other night that just thrilled me. It said, He hath given us all things richly to enjoy. Not only does He give us our emotional needs and our spiritual needs and our salvation needs, but He gives us what we need to give us real joy. You can get it in Jesus. He said, these things have I spoken to you that your joy might be full, that my joy might remain in you, your joy might be full. If you want real joy, you need Jesus. And then He said that He'll freely give you all things. He'll give you hope for the future. Hope for the future. So many people are despondent and despairing around Christmas time because they don't have any hope. I'm privileged sometime. I say privileged. That may not be the best way to say it. But to the funerals of dear saints of God, I don't mean to say that it's a joy to me because I hate to see a grieving widow or a widower or the husband or the wife. I hate to see children and grandchildren around the coffin of somebody they love. I don't like that. It's not a pleasant thing. But what I can say is this. We don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Thank God. I'm glad He gave us hope beyond this. This is not the end of our dear brother. This is not the end of our mother. This is not the end of our relationship with them. They're in heaven right now. And we get to be with them very soon when Jesus comes back. And in Jesus, He gives you all things. He gives you hope for the future, a reunion of loved ones. He gives you hope in so far as your health. We got a letter from Leroy and Kim out in Wyoming. Our friends there, Leroy is about 78 or 79, I can't remember. But his health is failing, and hers as well. And she wrote a little note and said, "We're losing the battle of time. Time's catching up with us, you know. And the physical part of our body is just being destroyed. But we have hope of perfect health." I pray with people who have all kind of problems going on. And I think back, I didn't mention a while ago, Brother Ricky, but pray for Ricky Barber as well. And but several years ago, right after I'd first come, first time I ever heard it, I've heard it since then, and no doubt he'd heard it somewhere, or it might have just been real to him. I rode up Highway 50 to a little small mobile home where Billy Barber lay dying of cancer, Ms. Doris Barber's son, Judy's brother. And I said to him, I said, "Brother Billy, just come to tell you, love you, and we're praying for you, and I want you to know that God loves you." He said, "Brother Billy, I want to tell you something." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I cannot lose in this situation." He said, "I'm a winner either way." He said, "I know God can heal me, doctor. I know what the doctor said. That don't mean a thing. I got a big doctor. I got a doctor that could heal me right now. I'd get up out of this bed and go in there and eat lunch. And that'd be a good thing if he wanted to do that." He said, "But if that's not the case, just very soon, I'll not have cancer anymore. Very soon, I'll be able to run and shout and hoop and holler and sing if I don't leave it, make it in this body." He said, "I cannot lose. I'm a winner either way." My dear friend, here's the hope. If this earthly tabernacle of ours be destroyed, we have a heavenly one that and an inheritance that fadeth not away. Thank God, heaven's a real place. Amen. And he gave us that hope. And whenever the doctor says there's no hope, oh, sure, there's a lot of hope. Praise God, we'll get a brand new body. Let's just pray we don't look like Don Harold. Y'all remember that? I've known him all his life, and yet I remember him standing right up here with his, like me, belly sticking out, everything. And he said, how many of you know, don't know, this might be the perfect body when you get to heaven? And I said, "Lord, I hope not. I hope not." But you'll have a brand new body. No more sickness, no more pain. Oh, yeah. And these are sad times. You and I have homes, the majority of us, varying degrees of value, but they're home and you're happy and you're secure in there. But we got folks within driving distance of our church right now who lost their home during the storm. And we have a home now. And some of them, where they lived at, their family lived on that land, that house for 100 years. It's all gone with the flood and everything else. And it's still like that. Becky was reminding me the other day that riding down through, down below that area, down through there, all out there through those counties out in the country, there are homes that just stand empty, empty, where the flood waters destroyed, took away everything. They don't have a home. But you say, Brother Billy, where's that at in Christ? Where's that at in Christ? Oh, yeah, we've got a home. I don't care if ours is gone before dark, yours is gone before dark. We have a home in the other side. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that you might be also. We've got a place called heaven. Thank God. He gave us a hope of an eternal residence. And thank God that we'll get to go there because of Jesus. If you have him, he is a gift. He's the gift that keeps on giving, but only if you accept him. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Boys and girls, men and women, if you missed Jesus at Christmas time, you missed it all. He is the great gift of God. He is the gift that keeps on giving, and you can know him today in a very simple way. He made it so anybody could do it. Anybody can get saved. Anybody can go to heaven. Whosoever will may come. But what you must do is this. You have to receive him as your personal Savior. It's a free gift. But do you say, Brother Bill, how would I do that? Well, he said this. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you can be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Our kids all have Christmas lists, things they want. We pay attention to that list. What do you want this morning? Do you want to be saved? You want to have your home in heaven? You want to have your sins forgiven? Jesus is listening. He's waiting for you to make that decision. Would you do it today? In the media audience, the radio audience, the internet audience, on Facebook, or wherever you may be watching this message today. He knows you. He gave the very best gift that you could ever have, wrapped it in a human body, allowed it to be crucified, buried, and resurrected. Your name was on that gift because he bore your sin. He died for you. But it must be accepted. Will you accept him today? Will you receive him? Will you right now turn from your sin and turn to the Savior? I believe a believing heart is a calling heart. And if you believe on it, will you call on it right now? You might just pray a simple prayer like this, but mean it from the depth of your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, but I believe you bore my sin on the cross. Jesus, I believe you died for my sin and paid my sin debt. I accept you now as my personal Savior. Please come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died and were buried and rose again. And I accept you now as my personal Savior. Help me to love you and serve you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me, for dying for me, and for saving me right now. Now, if you're in the building and you've prayed that prayer and you believe it with all of your heart, I sure would like to know it before you left. Will you stand with your heads bowed, eyes are closed? Brother Brad's going to sing a verse or two of a song. I invite you to come right now. While you're standing, those of you who are Christians, will you pray, first of all, thank him for that gift once again. Take a deep breath. You're fixing to dive back out there and go back to the business for the next couple of days. But right now, will you just take a few moments and pause and thank him for loving you and for dying for you? Will you do that? And then, would you do this? Would you pray for those around you and those in the internet radio audience who don't know Christ, that they'd receive the same gift you have?